When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yank Time Decisions live with you on this Tuesday night. We've got a lot of good stuff coming up here later tonight. We're about to get underway in Cleveland for Game 5 of Cavs-Pacers. If Cleveland is able to complete this 3-1 comeback, they will find themselves favored in the next round unless, well, not true. They're going to be favored now even if they do play Boston due to that Jason Tatum injury. So for the Cavs, the chance to get to the finals without LeBron still is out there. Mon Donovan Mitchell over the 27.5 points. Over 27.5 points in this game. I think he is healthier than the discount suggests on his prop. I think it's a nice bounce-back spot for Donovan Mitchell. But the main event on our slate tonight is Oklahoma City and Denver. Game 5. The only swing game we have had in this round. Every other series featuring a 3-1 lead. Pacers, Knicks, Timberwolves, all taking 3-1 leads. Which is incredible to say that the only team who could not grab a 3-1 lead in round two, the only team is the minus money favorites to win the championship. In most circumstances, I feel like that would lead me to start screaming about how outrageous the Thunder's pricing is. How I don't understand what world the books are living in. You're not going to get that, though, because I do expect Oklahoma City to, we'll see who's on the other side of the bracket, but I do expect OKC to win the West. Now, what I would say is the OKC pricing is why I never bet him preseason, I never bet him in season, and the only time I did bet him, I had to get creative. For those that, you know, were not with us on the night when we decided to lock in the OKC to win the West action, it was parlayed with the Dodgers, and all you needed was an extra innings walk-off win. Tommy Edman, I think, sent us home. Yeah, Tommy Edman made it happen. I then, you know, on a Dinger Tuesday, paired my list of guys with OKC. So, again, I had to get creative because the Thunder's pricing I can't get to. Even if I think the Thunder should roll again tonight. I thought the Thunder would roll in game one. They lost. They blew it. It made me incredibly confident they would roll in game two. They win by 43. It's game three in Denver, and I expect OKC to step up again. They never were able to take a double-digit lead. Neither was Denver. They won by 9. That was their biggest lead of the game. An overtime battle. Give the Nuggets credit. Give the Nuggets credit for finding a way to pull that one out. But a lot of that also had to do with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's fourth quarter performance in Game 3 being probably the worst quarter of basketball he played all season long. 1 of 8 from the field, lacking awareness that he didn't have it and the guys around him did. But off of that loss, I expected OKC to rock and roll. And the Thunder held the Nuggets to 8 points. 8 points in the first quarter. And we're not up 10. After holding the Nuggets to 8 points in the first quarter, OKC did not have a lead entering the fourth. But they won the fourth quarter by more than they won the first quarter and pulled away and even this series. And I find myself once again expecting the Thunder to dominate. So how to back it? You could lay the big number. But this is where the OKC pricing is tough. I am seeing the Thunder too similarly to the books. Maybe they even see them stronger than I do. So I can't get to that number at 10.5. But I can get to the Oklahoma City team total over 115.5 as a best bet tonight. OKC has only scored under 100 points 3 times all season long, regular season and postseason before game 4. That was the 4th time. The follow-up games, this team has been wonderful the next game. Now, opponents certainly do vary, but they scored 119 in the game after the 3 games. 119, they scored 127, and then they scored 136. That's what we've seen from them in the follow-up games. I think the 3-point shooting will be much better from Oklahoma City, and I think that they are going to get the job done. What I am incredibly fascinated by in tonight's game, beyond winning the bet, OKC winning the game, also then to keep the -1.5 game series spread bet in play, is what we see from Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic is still in his prime. It may be towards the end of it, we don't know, but this is still the prime years of Nikola Jokic. He's also a postseason proven player. We know that to be true. Nikola Jokic started this series with one of the great games of his postseason career. 42-22. 52% from the field, chipped in 6 assists, couple of blocks, and a steal. And the comeback win against a team of OKC's caliber, wow. He has not shot 40% from the field in the 3 games that have followed up. Jokic in his last 7 games, has shot under 40% 4 times, under 45% 5 times. He averaged 58% from the field in the regular season. He has not shot above 52% in this 7-game window. And I do think that OKC deserves so much of the credit for what they have done to Nikola Jokic. But I can't get the few performances against the Clippers out of my head. Jokic is someone who has typically taken his regular season averages, specifically scoring, and elevated them once the postseason begins. Now, that was going to be tough for him to do coming off of his career highs points of 29.5 per game. But Jokic, over his last four postseasons before this, his averages, rounding up, 30, 31, 30, 29. He's at under 25 a game, 24.9. The regular season for Nikola Jokic and the postseason for Nikola Jokic have been different right now. I'm not trying to attack Joker. I know that the people are sensitive to that. But I am trying to figure out what he is going to give this team tonight. And we usually don't have to ask that question. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Larry the Ride here. It is Game Time Decisions, and it is that time again. We have a major event. That means we need Brady Cannon to help us out. The PGA Championship. Brady, appreciate you making some time here on a Tuesday as we get set for what should be, won't be as good as the Masters, we all know that, but what should be a really, really fun event this week.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. We've seen this golf course. It's kind of odd, Kevin. Most of the majors, other than the Masters, are golf courses that we see once every 10, 20 years or even never before. But here we have a golf course in Quail Hollow that has been a mainstay on the PGA Tour calendar since 2003, the host of the Wells Fargo Championship. Now, that sponsor has changed. We had the Truist Championship last week, which would normally be the Wells Fargo. But the point is we've seen this golf course for a long time, and so it kind of gives us a little leg up on our handicap that we know something about this golf course. We're not going in blindly, and we know, you know, who this course typically favors and maybe a little bit of what to expect.
So let's start at the top, Brady, because this is something that, and do check me if I'm wrong about this, but after Rory won at Augusta, he went to the favorite to win the PGA Championship.
Yeah,
am I right about
correct.
That?
It's so correct, and I'll explain a little bit here. Scotty, of course, was the favorite, but prior to Rory winning the Masters. Then Rory won the Masters. Combined with that, and the fact that he has won here, the Wells Fargo, 4 times in his career. So they're like, okay, look, now Rory's the favorite. And then last week, Scotty says, hold my beer. I'm going to go set a record for 72 holes and shoot 2. And now he's the favorite again. So it's been a little bit of back and forth.
So here's what I'm trying to figure out, right? Rory jumping Scotty because he wins the Masters, I can make sense of, because It felt like the odds makers wanted to put Rory in front of Scotty at Augusta because of the form he entered in. They knew they couldn't. It's why I was like, the Rory number's way too short because it was so close to Scotty's number, right?
Right.
The fact that Scotty is now wrapped around, even if I absolutely adore him showing up to respectfully an amateur event, essentially, and blowing it to smithereens, that's like, was it almost Scott is kind of checking everyone like, hey, listen, good for Rory, cool moment. He's not me. Like, I know, I don't know if you're probably not betting either guy. Maybe you are, but I just feel like these two trading off. I'll put it like this, Brady. When was the last time we talked about who should be favored at a golf tournament? It's been Scotty for like 2 years.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And, you know, it's kind of been Rory, Scotty, and John Rahm. And now I think the big three is Rory, Scotty, and Bryson. Mm. And, you know, Bryson has now made up a lot of ground. He was anywhere from 16 to 1 to 12 to 1. And now he's anywhere from 6 to 8 to 1 to win this week. He is in Rory and Scotty territory. So, and Rahm, you know, Rahm's drifted all the way to 20 or 25 to 1, I think I've seen. So, you know, there's a lot of guys. And this is probably, Kevin, it typically is year in and year out. And I believe it's true this season for sure. The best field we have in golf. Okay, you know, the Masters, you have a lot of past champions, you have a lot of amateurs. Here we have about 20 club professionals, actual PGA professionals that run golf courses that qualify and get to play here, which is a very special occasion. Outside of that, there's 125 or so pros that have earned their way into this field. And you look up and down the odds board, everybody who's anybody is here this week at Quail Hollow. Best field of the season so far.
Brady, before we get to your card, and we certainly got plenty of time to really figure that out, can you give me an idea what you expect the conditions to be like this weekend and maybe around what you think the winning score is going to look like for this tournament?
Well, you know, we've got another golf tournament where some rain has, you know, been peppering the golf course early in the week. And it's been hard for these guys to get in practice rounds because it really has been coming down. I guess there's a trace of possible rain on Friday as well during the tournament. But for the most part, it looks like the rain will pretty much subside once we get going on Thursday. Now, like Augusta National, Quail Hollow also has, you know, those highly advanced sub-air systems under the greens and the fairways, and they can try and dry this course out as best they can to make it firm and fast. But I think the amount of rain that they've had this week leading up, I think we are going to get a wet, softer golf course, and that even more so plays into the hands of the Bombers. They're going to be able to find more fairways. Their carry distance is longer. The shorter guys are not going to get as much run out on a firm and fast fairway. So I think we will. We saw it at Valhalla last year where the guys really tore that course apart with how soft it was because of the rain. I don't think they'll tear Quail Hollow apart. The fairways are much narrower. It is more difficult, I believe, than Valhalla. But it probably will play maybe a little bit easier than expected. And as far as the winning score, it's interesting to note when Justin Thomas won here the last time he had a PGA in 2017, his winning score was 8 under par. But that was in August, and a different time of the year, different grasses growing, a much different golf course at that time of the season. Now, back in May, when they typically play the Wells Fargo, I think you're going to have a bit of an easier setup. The rough will not be as penal. And the number that they're posting here at the Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas for a winning score is 13.5 under par, which kind of feels about right. We just had the Masters at 11. I would think somewhere between 11 and 14 gives us one heck of a golf tournament where birdies and eagles are possible, but, you know, double bogeys are as well.
It's going to be really fun to watch. We're going to have Brady here with us in our next segment. It's going to be a short break. We're going to get his card. We'll ask him about a couple of key guys. But this is one of these tournaments where you have Scotty and Rory back and forth with their pricing. Bryson either in their tier or on a tier of his own, 18 to 1 Rahm, 22 to 1s on Schauffele and Justin Thomas. And then you still have underneath that 30-1 barrier, Ludwig and Morikawa. We're going to ask Brady Cannon where his card looks like right now for the PGA Championship after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, game time decisions with you on this Tuesday night. We're joined by Brady Cannon. Brady, we kind of set the stage a little bit here for the PGA Championship. Let the people know where your action is for this major event.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about Rory and Scotty, and I swerved both of them, Kevin. I think after the accomplishment that Rory McIlroy took down back in April at Augusta, not only winning the Masters, but also completing the career Grand Slam, and then coming into a tournament now at a golf course where he's won four times, it's just like that is so much to deal with. I honestly wouldn't be surprised. I think I'd be surprised if he missed the cut, but part of me would not, because boy, you know, he's got to come down for a minute off of all of that and all of this pressure and this expectation now going into this one. So I'm going to stay away from him. Scotty doesn't play this course that often. The only time he played it was for the President's Cup in 2022, and his record was lousy, 0-3-1 in his matches. And I mentioned the rain. He's not getting a whole lot of practice in here, so I'm not ready to go there with him either. But I did take the third biggest favorite on the board, Mr. Bryson DeChambeau. And he's an extremely popular pick this week, but I just could not leave him off the card. He makes way too much sense here. He drives the ball a mile. He drives it straight. He putts well. You know, he plays the long par fours. He's been in the final pairing on Sunday in every one of his last four starts and won the last one at LIV Korea. So I had to go with Bryson. Then I went to Schauffele. I typically don't play on the defending champion, but I think Schauffele makes a lot of sense, and I think he's about ready to fire. You know, he missed a good chunk of this season with injury, but his last four starts have been very good, had a top 10 at the Masters. He could be ready to go get it again. He's finished runner up here at Quail Hollow twice in the last two Wells Fargo championships. And then I went with Oberg. I bet him back in January as soon as he won at Torrey Pines, which I think is a very connected golf course to Quail Hollow. If you do well at Torrey, you should do well here. So I took Oberg when he won back in February at the Genesis Invitational. And then I also took my last short shot. I took four guys that are in that neighborhood of, you know, 10-30-1. And the last one was Joaquin Niemann, another LIV player who has won nearly half the events on the LIV circuit this year. He's won three times already. This guy is absolutely red hot. And I think the PGA is probably the major that is best suited for his game. If you look at the PGA, since it moved to the May spot on the calendar, there's been five editions since 2019 when it immediately followed the Masters. Four of those guys have finished top 10 in the Masters leading up to that PGA. Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau, those guys all finished top 10 at the Masters, and a few of my long shots did as well. My next long shot is Tyrrell Hatton, 14th at the Masters, won earlier this year, the Dubai Desert Classic back in January, got him at 60-1. Jason Day, who's won at Torrey Pines twice, won here at Quail Hollow before, has a PGA Championship to his credit, and his number of top 10 finishes here at Quail Hollow and at Torrey Pines. Now, he's possibly nursing injury. He had to withdraw last week, and I don't know. Maybe that was precautionary. I hope so. But if he's healthy, I think he contends. I got him at 80-1. I've seen his price drift all the way to more than 100-1 with this injury stuff. And then Sungjae Im, who I haven't bet on in a long time, but he has done very well at this golf course and at Torrey Pines. And he did, oh, by the way, did very well at that President's Cup for the international side in 2022. So he's played extremely well at this golf course before, got him at 95-1. And then my biggest bomb, Harris English, who you may remember, Kevin, we were on at 110 to 1 when he won earlier this year at Torrey Pines. The guys also finished third at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, fourth at the U.S. Open at Winged Foot. He has played big boy golf courses extremely well. He's finished third here at Quail Hollow for the Wells Fargo. So 200 to 1 on Harris English. I think he's got a shot.
It's going to be, again, incredible to watch. I just want to throw out there, and I know this is the case, like every one of these tournaments now, I remain fascinated by Rahm. A really slow start kind of gave him no chance, but he played really well. Each day his score got lower at the Masters. Different course, I know, but...
He's a master at Torrey Pines. Has won there twice, including a U.S. Open. Tough to count him out.
It's going to be fun to watch, Brady. We really appreciate it, as always, right here on Game Time Decisions. We'll be back. Update you on everything going on. Cavs, Pacers.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions live right here with a nice start to this game from Donovan Mitchell, 7 early. A good start overall for Cleveland here. Defensively answering the bell. If you keep the Pacers to this type of start, you have to capitalize. It reminds me a little, though, of not the course of the game. One of the most underrated aspects of Game 2 and that incredible comeback. The Pacers scored 15 first quarter points and ended that game with 102 points. That should not be possible. 35, 34, 36 was how they closed out that game. 105 points over the final three quarters. It was absolutely outrageous, and it shows just how tough the Pacers are to stop when they have it going on that side of the floor. I think the reality for Indiana is their offense can hit such levels. And I think when you look at now the last 2 years, it really feels like the healthy Pacers have a chance in any series they play. Like, I didn't pick them to beat Cleveland. I do believe that if the Cavs were 100% healthy for the length of the series, they would have won this series. I do believe that. But the Pacers, even last year, not only beat the Knicks, the Pacers last year had the chance to steal game number one in Boston. They lose Halliburton by game number two. I know they got swept, but they were so competitive. It's just a completely different thing when their offense has it going. They don't have it going right now against the Cavs. The Cavs are flying around. Again, I do not think this series is over. I think what's interesting for Indiana is if you do not make the finals, what does your offseason look like? I don't say that from a blow-it-up disaster perspective, obviously. But is there a move for the Pacers where they look around and they go, we're close, we just need X to push us over the top? Because, again, realistically for the Pacers, even if they make the finals, like if they don't win the title, but specifically if they don't make the finals, right? You know, last year you go to the Eastern Conference Finals, they're favored to go back to the Conference Finals. They won't be favored over the Knicks, but it'll be close. If they play the Knicks, I don't think they'd be favored over Boston, even without Tatum. But they're going to still obviously have a chance. Again, my point is, what does that offseason look like for Indiana? And there is one name, I just want to throw this out there to people. There's some off-season stories that are like lightly developing, right? Like the Giannis stuff is bubbling. A lot of people want to talk about it. So do I. Cooper Flagg, 100%, right? What's going on? Focusing on this stuff in front of us? Absolutely. But there is still the like lingering Kevin Durant is just going to be traded this offseason thing. And again, I do not know if people have like taken in just how wild it is that Kevin Durant being traded is this foregone conclusion. But it's just, while simultaneously, you have to just ask, what is Kevin Durant's trade value? So here's why I said, I don't know if people are kind of following some of the light rumors right now, as Donovan Mitchell is filling it up in a major way, double-digit points here in this opening quarter. The report is that the Rockets, who have been connected to Kevin Durant, may look to go in a different direction because KD, age-wise, does not sync up with their young core. Kevin Durant is set to be, I believe, 37 at some point during next season, if not entering into next season. If this is the summer of Giannis, if there are, you know, maybe one other big move that could also happen, right? Is Kevin Durant going to be able to be had for what feels like a discount? Cheap, even? And get some teams in the race that you would have typically not expected, i.e., the Indiana Pacers. Another one that absolutely comes to mind, who plays later tonight, Zag, is the Denver Nuggets. Because you would expect Denver, again, if this series plays out how I think it will, which is Denver losing the next two, there's going to be still, you know, a conversation for what does this offseason need to be. And if Kevin Durant is, he's not going to be easily obtainable, but way more obtainable, way more than when he was traded out of Brooklyn, right? Or when he was making his decisions as a free agent. I just wonder if the Kevin Durant list is way longer than we realize. There is a way that it goes the other way, though, that the Giannis sweepstakes forces teams to put players out on the table that like they otherwise wouldn't. And then you can't like fully reel it in. And if you lose out on Giannis, you're willing to overpay for Kevin Durant. That's the other way this goes. Where, let's say you are the Spurs, you lose out on Giannis. Is it on the board that you go and then give up the second pick for KD? Like, just dwell on that, and then I'll update you on the baseball board. What in this moment holds more trade value? Kevin Durant or the second pick in this draft? Presumably Dylan Harper of Rutgers. Right now, it's going to depend a little bit on how you view the second best player in this class. I think the answer for me is the number two pick is more valuable. So that would then suggest KD, again, can be had for a lot less than typical before, and then that really opens some things up. Before we hit a commercial break, we should get the consig in here in a little bit. Updates across the Major League Baseball board. 2-2 in Boston, Detroit. Bregman hit a home run to tie that game. We're still waiting on any juice from Devers. Real low scoring in Guardians, Brewers. 1-0 heading into the top of the seventh there for Cleveland. If I'm not mistaken, Milwaukee got off to a really nice start to this season, and it is completely... I'm completely wrong about that. Milwaukee started the season getting smoked by the Yankees. Why did I think they were off to a nice start? They're just kind of, they were fine. They were fine. They're now under 500, though. Tampa's up early on Toronto as They're hitting Berrios a little bit in this game. Two runs in that one. Mets get on the board with a Brandon Nimmo double against the reeling Pittsburgh Pirates. That is an awful, awful team in an awful situation. They've already fired their manager. Washington up early on Atlanta. C.J. Abrams started that game with a home run. Braves just cannot get themselves to 500. And then we have started in Cubs Marlins. Don't forget Yarnell on the over 8 in that game. So we'll see if we can get the scoring going in that one. It's a quick break. We'll invite the Consig on to Game Time Decisions after this Tuesday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, live right here on Sports Grid, 31-19 for Cleveland at the end of the first quarter. Donovan Mitchell with 13 in the first quarter and 10 for Evan Mobley. And realistically, it was made a little bit better due to Tyrese Haliburton stealing three free throws at the end there with a, they tried to do a take foul, a shooting foul. He made two of the three, but a really good start for the Cavs. They've done that before. And it's not resulted in a win. We do have some playoff hockey tonight to help us talk a little bit about that. It's the Consig appropriately donning the Stars gear.
Yes,
Dave,
sir.
What is the word around town on Dallas, Winnipeg?
One of those situations where how high do you make the number until you can actually get a bet on Winnipeg? Last game, just one of those ones that got away from them. And Connor Hellebuck on the road versus Connor Hellebuck at home versus Connor Hellebuck in the regular season. He's going to determine how this game goes tonight completely for the Jets. If the Jets are going to win, which between you and I and everyone watching and listening all over the world, I don't think they're going to do tonight. It's going to be because of Connor Hellebuck.
Some love there for the goalie. Let me ask you this, Dave.
Yep.
What's going on? What would be a more appropriate question? What's going on with Edmonton or what's going on with Vegas?
Oh, well, I think it's a good two-part question. What's going on with Edmonton is this team has 100% belief, and all of the things that were maybe being questioned about them in the past with the goaltending situation is not even a question anymore. They're the favorite, odds-on favorite to win the West. They're the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup. And they just changed goalies again. So back to Skinner. It worked. He got a shutout. They're right there on top of the odds board. Vegas has questions as well, but I think the questions outnumber the answers. I don't think that Vegas has any answers. This series feels like it's over, whether it's in five or six. This would be an unbelievable comeback to me for the Knights to just get it to a game seven. I think a little somber here in town. You know, in Vegas, we were hoping for another playoff run to get us to June, but doesn't look good.
Yeah, I'm pretty stunned at the way this series is going right now.
Yeah.
I am someone who, I want to see McDavid back in the cup. I think that's great. I think that's really good for hockey. Vegas grabbing the first game. Oh, wow, that's pretty impressive. Good for them, right? Edmonton, right?
Yes.
Edmonton grabbing the second game. It's like, whoa, really? Like both of them. Overtime hockey gets weird. Anything can happen. Also, it just feels like overtime naturally. I know it's not the different rules, but just still, it's like, hey, who can skate longer? Well, McDavid and Leon probably. So, okay, fine, right?
Yep.
Vegas wins in this just outrageous buzzer beater fashion. Now, game four, it's not that the Oilers won on their home ice. It's 3-0.
Domination.
How many?
They dominated.
How many 3-0 Oiler wins are there on the year? Right?
Not many. So that's that. I think that is what put the seed of doubt where, if it was another close game and you go, okay, they can just, make that, get that puck to flip the other way and maybe get a late goal and win. I really think Edmonton took control of that series the way they won yesterday.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way, and it's a good thing for you to point out. Under 3-1 right now. Dave, do you feel that OKC being a double-digit favorite is a situation where the books are kind of making a statement, or they just know that there are people lurking and waiting to come in and back this Thunder team to win by 15, 20 points because they're just going to – they if they play a longer series, they're going to do it multiple times.
Yep. You gravitate back toward the original number when the series started, right? So OKC at home, first game was 10, right? It closed 10. I think it was 8.5 and it closed 10. Just go back to that same number. Now you have a body of work. You have four games to kind of go off of. It has to be at least that. The way Denver, yeah, they came back, but the way they started and the way that game started, this series has kind of taken on a different look than what we all thought it was going to be in the beginning. You know, maybe looking towards the under where it looked like it was going to be automatic overs. And the game may be a little bit ugly. Books just putting up the number, taking a bet. So there's not real strong – I don't think there's a strong opinion either way. In the future market, yes. I mean, the future market, did you see – OKC today to win the NBA championship?
Even I did. Money.
Some books put them at minus 105, minus 110. Surprising.
Yeah, I think my take on OKC and their price all year is I get it, I can't get there. And, right, you know, I remember when last season ended telling people like, oh, I look forward to being in on OKC.
Yeah.
Hartenstein deal, Caruso deal, and it's like, all right, so there's nothing we can do there. Telling people, like, yeah, SGA is going to win MVP. Not a ticket in sight. He still hasn't been. When is he going to win MVP? In like 25 minutes? Like, what's going on? When is he going to win that award? Don't Major League Baseball me here. Don't make me wait forever.
I don't know how this works. I mean, yesterday they gave the number one pick to the Dallas Mavericks around this time. So maybe they'll give him the MVP. Who knows?
You think 750 is a good time for them to do some things?
No, what are they doing at halftime? They do it at halftime
before the game.
I don't know.
Would be nice before the game. Be nice. Here's what we'll do: we'll trade some questions on the back end of this. I'll just say I haven't mentioned this yet tonight, and I should. I just have a feeling, just because I could see it. Sometimes you can see it in someone's eye, and I know sometimes, you know, Dave, he looks around every corner. If you think the NBA lottery is rigged, you're a little crazy. All right, that's all.
Yeah,
that's all. You're a little crazy. Yeah. Like, if you truly, in your heart of hearts, were given even money both sides, is it rigged? Yes, no. And they're going to open the envelope, and if you win your money, like, and you bet the yes, it's like, woof, that's a losing ticket. We'll button it up here on the other side of this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're going to flip some questions around here. I'm going to bat lead off. I don't always have a question for you, but I have a question for you. Please. If the NBA Eastern Conference Finals is Pacers Celtics?
Oh,
what's the number? I know. I'm not saying it will be. I think we all, like, if it's Cavs Knicks, the Cavs are favored. If it's Knicks Pacers, the Knicks are favored. We know it.
Yeah.
If it's Pacers Celtics.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, the Celtics are favored.
They are. I agree.
Yeah, 100%. The Celtics are favored. If they win the next three games and somehow win this series, they have home court advantage over the Pacers. Yep. They'll be favored.
Yeah.
100%. Well, is that the right number? I don't know. But they will be favored. I think the Knicks – how much do you think the Knicks will be favored by the Pacers by?
$150,
$160 reasonable?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's no way it's minus 200, right? So
I don't think so. Some guys would argue that it should be. Some
Why,
guys
though?
Would
argue that it should be pick.
I know it's not pick.
It's not pick.
I don't think it's as high as 200. The Knicks are favored at home in game one, so they got to be favored for the series. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I think minus 145 to minus 170 is like the range I'm willing to live in. I think
the number will depend on your future position. If you're a book, because there's some big tickets out there floating on the Pacers. we're 100-1 not that long ago to win the, NBA.
Yeah.
And 50-60-1 to win the East. So
I know someone holding a 28-1 preseason giving out right here on this show.
How about that? about that?
It's funny because
back for you. Real quick, because I gotta go.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys are getting upset. I don't want to get anybody upset. If I told you a team had 56 runs scored in their last six games, that's 9.3 runs a game, and I told you that this team also has 74 home runs, more than the next closest team by 10, which is the Dodgers with 64 home runs. Can you name that team?
Yankees?
Your boys, all they do is hit home runs. It's Dinger Tuesday. Pick one or two because they're going deep again tonight.
All right, Consig, I love that from you. I always appreciate you jumping in here. I'm going to say something. I think overall, great point by Dave. Tonight's game, total home runs, 2.5. It's minus 188 to the under. Now, I can't do much with minus 188, but this isn't really a home run game. Max Fried doesn't really give up home runs. Brian Wu doesn't really give up home runs. Total 7. I don't really have the oomph to play the under, though, because, like, come on, who's doing that at a 940? Nobody texts me. This is what they did last time. Cost me tons of money on that nerfy-yerfy situation that came in Oakland. I don't think there's going to be much runs there. Consig, it is always great to have you by here on a Tuesday. Let's send everybody on their way with what the juice looks like for the rest of the night. Thunder Nuggets, best bet, over the 115.5 team total on OKC. Total drops massively due to the big time under they play on a Sunday. That's fine. I get it. Little too far. It's the way I feel comfortable backing OKC without having to lay 10 or bet SGA 32.5. Can't get a cheap number on this guy. Can't get a cheap number on this SGA. I get it. I don't mind if you play the Jokic rebounds assist. We talked about that pre-series. He's nowhere near the assist lead, and they won't give us a fair number on him in series. I can't get there. I check every day. We're not getting a fair number. I don't mind a Lu Dort come back for made threes leader. I don't mind a Lu Dort play tonight, but I like the OKC team total over. Major League Baseball, if you want some home runs. All right, I think for the crew, you can get in on most of these as well. Tyler Soderstrom for me. I'm also playing Will Smith in that game. And I also have a shot on Vinny Pasquantino. Jonah Heim from Yarnell. Jackson Merrill from AJ. AJ's best bet also not off the board just yet. D-backs money line. Going to give that group a shot. On the road against the Giants. Fought Robbie Ray. So that's where we are on a Tuesday. Great to have everybody here. Really appreciate it. And we will do it again on Thursday. Look forward to seeing you. In-game live is next.